We're going to go to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first 11 verses. And we're going to look at a few fishermen and what they experienced with Jesus. Many of us know this story when they were called to ministry, and they acted on obedience. That's really what the message is, underlying message is simple acts of obedience. But the fact that they, when Peter said, "At your word, Lord, I will." And that's what we want to catch today. And so it's going to be Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message today that you've given to us. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. We need you, Holy Spirit, to come and teach us, like your word says. Every time, I get behind this pulpit or at Friday night Bible study, or any time I share your word, Lord, I rely on the Spirit to teach me that I could teach others. And so, Lord, I also would pray you take the coal off the altar and cleanse my lips, for I'm a sinful man. Lord, I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I need your guidance. As I speak for you today, let it speak with truth, love, power, and authority, that your word would go forth and touch my brothers and sisters' hearts as well as mine. Lord, every time I teach, it's like teaching myself. So, Lord, we would ask for your the opening of our eyes to see you, the ears to hear, and the heart to receive what you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to read the first 7 verses, and we won't read verses 8 through 11 till the end. So it says here, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's." Of course, who else, right? Simon. I love Peter because I can relate to him. And Jesus was trying to get him to get ready for ministry. And that's why you always see Peter mentioned. That's Peter wrote his two letters to us. I just love how he addresses Peter all the time. And it wasn't just by chance he got into Peter's boat. He chose Peter for a reason. I want you to see that. And he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And remember, there's a lot of people here at this by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee, if you didn't know. I think it's called the Lake of Tiberias or something like that, too, in the scriptures. Verse 4. "And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word,'" say your word, "say your word, "I will let down the net." I don't want you to miss that. If you like to highlight in your Bible, highlight your word. "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink." So here, this is an act of obedience by Peter here. There's two acts of obedience here. And the first one is, the fact that Jesus chose his boat, and Peter pushed me out into the water a little bit. Now, Jesus could have just done that himself, right? But he said, "Tony, push me out into the water a little bit." I would have said, "Well, okay, geez, can't do that by yourself." No, but I mean, this seems like this doesn't mean a lot, but it does. Jesus asked him to do something. And so, obeying God in small matters can bring blessings not only to you but to other people, and we're going to see that. Today's passage illustrates this principle of obeying God and just in the little things. Simon Peter, a fisherman, had worked all night without catching anything. He was on the shore finishing his work when Jesus approached him. The Lord wanted to speak from the boat to the crowd that was on the beach. So his first simple act of obedience, verse 3, and he got into Peter's boat, asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Despite a long, fruitless night of work, Peter agreed to take Jesus in the vessel. The crowd was blessed by listening to the gospel, the message that Jesus had for these people. So you can see here, note that, see how others were blessed by Peter's simple act of obeying Christ. As with us. When we obey God, yeah, we're blessed, but sometimes we don't look at it. I don't look at it that way. If God calls you to do something, it's usually for other people. We serve other people. You put others first. And so not only when we obey God, we get blessed, but others can be blessed the same way. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And I think Peter's going to learn what agape love is all about through this, not only this story here, but even the stories before chapter 5. I mean, it wasn't like he just met Jesus, okay? I mean, they hadn't been around for a long time, but the disciples, Peter especially, his mother-in-law was healed in chapter 4, right? If you go back. So he already saw a miracle by Jesus. He healed his wife's mother. And then all kinds of people came to him, and they witnessed Jesus healing all those that were sick and all those that were demon-possessed. And then we go right into chapter 5. So I think when we see this story unfold, Peter's going to realize, wow, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, God. Because he's already seen the power that Jesus has. And he sees the love that Jesus has. And Jesus says in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments," right? Simple verse, and one of the easiest verses in the Bible to remember. I want you all to remember John 14:15. What is it? "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's obedience. That's what it is. If you truly love Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to, what? At his word, do what it says. 1 John 3:16-18. "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." It's easy to talk, lip service, but we have to perform in deed and in truth. We got to walk in that truth and let others see the love of God. That's how they see the love of God in us, by us serving others, by those that don't deserve our love or don't deserve certain things, but yet you reach out to them anyway in the name of Jesus. Love should always be our motivation to obey God's commands. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love to serve and serve to love the Lord and others. I'll say that again. Love to serve, have a heart to serve, and serve to love the Lord and others. You do it because you love God first. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. It's like we love him because what? He first loved us. Thank you, Frank. God's requests can come to us at unexpected moments. I mean, the last thing Peter and his pals thought were, "Hey, I want you to go out and fish again." Well, we just cleaned everything up. We want to go home and rest. You talk to these people, we'll see you in the morning. I mean, what they were doing was packing up ready to go home. And now get it all out again and go fishing? Unexpected moments. We may be tempted to let someone else respond to his call. Let those other boats go out. We did this, and it's not a good time to fish anyway. We know what we're doing. mean, they could have came up with all kinds of different. I'm saying this because I could have come up with all kinds of different answers to Jesus, right? Really, you want me to do this? Unexpected moments. We may be tempted to let someone else respond to his call, thinking it will not matter who is the one to comply. But remember, his plans are designated for our benefit. His plans are designated for you individually. Yes, as a church corporately, but he has a plan individually for each and every one of us. And that's where those are those unexpected moments when he may call you to do something. But they're designed for our benefit. When he calls you to a task, it's his plan for you. The blessings are yours and possibly for others. Most of the time it is. So don't let someone else respond to your calling. I'm going to say that again. Don't let someone else respond to your calling. And I have a story about that. Hopefully I won't take too long. But like what happened on May 1st, 2022. Do you remember that day? I do. With what happened to Pastor Steve. Do you realize, when's May 1st? Next week? Tuesday? Wednesday? It's going to be 2 years since that happened. 2 years. To me, it's like it was yesterday. That day was a game changer for him, for his family, and all of us as a church, and especially for me. That text message, I'll never forget that afternoon. I just semi-retired, but God had other plans for me. Lord, really? Because in January, I'm still your assistant pastor. That won't change until God kicks me out of here or something, or you kick me out, or Stevie says, get out. But I stepped down from full-time ministry because the church was struggling paying me a wage, and I said, you know what? Irene and I are, you know, with our two little retirement accounts and Social Security, we're paying bills, everything's good. You know what? I'll just volunteer my time, and, you know, this is what I want to do to help the church. He goes, wow, thanks, brother. I said, you still want me to be your assistant? He says, oh, of course. So I'm still here. And so I said, I'll come in and help you. And he wanted to know how to pay bills and how to do this and that. So I was showing him, and because he kind of knew, but he didn't. And then on May 1st, then it happened. So January was when I kind of semi-retired. I mean, I came off staff, not getting paid anymore. And then that happened. So I'm sitting there watching a golf tournament, you know, just chilling, eating lunch, and I'm reading this text going, wow. Unexpected moments. Can you say that? Unexpected moments changed like this. In 1 second, I'm thinking, wow, Lord, I'm now the head pastor of this church because we don't know what's going to happen to Steve, and I got to step up and take care of the flock. You know, I felt like Joshua. Moses, get out. You got to come back. You know, why'd you strike the rock twice, dude? You're supposed to strike. Why? Now I got to take these people across the Jordan River? Really? I mean, come on. You can just think how Joshua felt. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry. God's going to be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, I've heard that. I know, but so I felt like Joshua. But what was I going to do? Say no? You're my flock just as much as you're Stevie's flock. I love you guys. But God had other plans. I thought, God, who else could step up and do this? Fernando. Don't let someone else respond to your calling. It was my calling. It was my responsibility to take care of you. I got all the men, the leadership of the church together and said, guys, we got to keep this together because we don't know if Stevie's going to live or die. Seriously, you guys, he was on his deathbed. Half his brain was opened to get rid of that, to relieve the pressure and the brain bleed. They didn't know if he was ever going to speak again or talk. That side of the brain was where your memory comes in. They asked what he does. He goes, well, he teaches the Word of God. Oh, my gosh. Well, he's going to need speech therapy. He's going to need this, all these plans. We're waiting, 5-hour surgery, 6-hour surgery. I snuck into the back of the hospital, found Stevie and Stevie Jr. I'm good at that. I snuck in through the emergency room. Like, I'm the doctor here, so where's... That was during COVID, you know, 2 years ago, so it was cool. I kind of stealthed my way through there and found them where they were, and we waited until Steve got out of surgery. Pardon me for this, but it's heartfelt. But yeah, all these things, the doctor comes out and says all these things to you. We don't know what's going to happen. And my life changed right then. Lord, I don't want to be the senior pastor. But if that's my calling, then let's do this. I don't know how to tell you this, but I had this resolve. Does that make sense? That, okay, we're good. You know, we're good. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But, Lord, this is it. But, Lord, please heal Stevie. When I got to see him for the first time, I said, don't you die on me, man. You get back up here. I said that to him when he had his 2 heart attacks. I go, Lord, what's next? This man's already had 2 heart attacks, a brain bleed. Then he wakes up in recovery, and he has another heart attack. I don't know if you guys knew that. He is truly a miracle. As we know, he's our miracle man. So, Lord, raise him up. Get him back up to the pulpit. That's where he wants to be. He loves you guys, loves to teach, and we love him. He's our shepherd, our pastor, our friend, you know, our brother. But I just want to share that story because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or tonight. Those unexpected moments. I mean, that was the last text message I thought I'd ever see. I think it was from his son, Steve, Stevie Jr. or Carmen. I can't remember. Hey, we're with Stevie in emergency. They're gonna have to open up his, you know, all the story. I don't want to go over it again. But it's like, you know, I'm shaking my head and I'm going, Irene, come here. Read this, will you? Am I reading this or am I dreaming? Is it nighttime? I mean, that's how crazy it was for me, thinking, what am I gonna do now? You know, and I wasn't just thinking of myself, but I was thinking of you guys. God, what is the church gonna do? But I praise God for the leadership in this church, the men. The men stepped up and surrounded you guys. All the other pastors and elders and the leadership, you know, hey, we're here with you, man. We're going to do this, you know. So, it was really a blessing to have such godly men overseeing this church. So I just want you to thank the Lord for that. And you women, too, who are in prayer and ready to do whatever that you needed to do to be come alongside Carmen and the family. It was a crazy time. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Many of us know this verse, and it's written to the tribe to Judah, as Israel and Judah were separated at the time, and Jeremiah was called to preach to Judah, repent from their sins. But these are our verse. This is our verse too. People say, "Well, that was for Israel." No, everything was a lot in the Old Testament, but Scripture is Scripture. You apply it to your life. So these are our these are His plans for you and I. The second simple act of obedience in verse 4: when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." This is where I think this was the big one here. Peter commented about the unlikelihood of catching anything, but nevertheless, right, did as Christ asked. His cooperation resulted in an abundance for the crowd, the other fishermen, their families, and himself. And he didn't obey to be rewarded. Yet that is precisely what happened here. His simple acts of obedience led to great opportunities to serve and abundant blessings for all. But the story's not over yet, right? We still got to read verses 8 through 11. Some of us act as if obedience and the little things are unimportant, but not to God they aren't. Peter's story teaches us just the opposite. Let's commit to carrying out the Lord's instructions in small matters as well as large ones, trusting that he will bring good from all obedience. Following God is always the right choice to make. Amen? Speaking of large ones, we need to look no further than Jesus and his act of obedience. Hebrews 5, 8 through 9. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. He learned obedience. Say that, he learned obedience. This is your Lord and Savior, learning obedience. And if he has to learn obedience, we do. By the things which he suffered, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Think about how much suffering he took for you and I. And he learned to obey through it all. God, if I could only do that when I'm suffering, Lord. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. All who what? Obey him. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, because he was fully God, fully man, but made himself of no reputation, which, boy, we know that, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, just like you and I, no different, and being, well, yeah, different, because he was God, but, excuse me, Jesus, I didn't mean to, and being found, excuse me, verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, if my Savior could learn obedience by the things that he suffered and going to the cross, boy, you think that I could, or I should, and that's what he's telling us for today. That's what he's telling us today is to, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 12, I love this verse. Two verses. John 12, 27 and 28. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus knew all along what his purpose was. But that human side of him, like in the garden, can this cup pass? Your cup of wrath pass? He knew it couldn't. And what was filled in that cup? Every one of our sins. All the sins of the flesh. Everything you and I have done, and worse, was in that cup. Lord, could this cup pass? No, son. This is why you came. This is why you're going to die. And he said, for this purpose, I came to this hour. Let's do this. That's how I felt on May 1st, 2022. What should I say, Lord? Save me from this hour. Taking over the church. Talk about an unexpected moment. No. He said, no. I said, no, for this purpose, you've called me to do this. That's why I had that spiritual resolve that things were just going to work out, whether Stevie lived or died. Something was going to, God had this. For this purpose, I was called to that. Call it a test, call it a trial, whatever it is, but okay, Lord, this is your purpose, this is your calling you have for me right now. Let's do this. And that's the attitude I had. Came from the Spirit. Because of his obedience, Jesus had promised eternal blessings for all who put their trust in him. Instead of hell, we received heaven. Billy Graham's famous quote, he took hell. You and I deserve. He took hell. You and I deserve. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. He's our living hope. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us night and day. through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our living hope. From the dead, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We have a reservation. We don't need to get our phone out and say, here, you know, beep, you know. It's there. It's waiting. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I can't wait for that time. I can't wait to see this. Because it's coming. Coming sooner than we think. Amen? In the parables of the talents, which many of us know, and the unjust servant, that poor guy, he learned a little hard way, didn't he? But in the parables here of this story, in the talents and this unjust servant, the principle is the same as this principle here. Our time, our money, abilities, and the authority to our resources given to us by God, to use them for his glory. Jesus said, for this purpose I came. Father, glorify yourself. It's not about me being glorified. It's about you being glorified. To use them for God's glory and bless others. That's what it's all about. I want to bless you guys. God gives me something to share. I want to bless it with you. I hope that you guys receive this. And this is the way we should be to each other. We need to be faithful and obedient to use them wisely. In other words, the talents that the parables speak of. A lot of us have many talents. You know, and I mentioned a few, our time, our money, abilities, and authority, our resources given to us by God. We need to use them wisely. Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Boy, I can't wait to hear that. Hopefully he talks to me that way. I don't know. Hopefully you feel the same way. I talked to Richard about that Wednesday. You know, he's confined to only doing so much. I wish I could do more and more. And I go, hey, you're faithful in the few things. Get what? You're going to be ruling over five cities or something in the millennium. You know? Don't worry about that. Right, Richard? Right. Yeah, he's a faithful brother, prayer warrior. You need prayer? You ask Richard to pray for you. Hey, you were faithful over a few things? I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. We all are. You put your trust in Jesus and believe in him. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. I love that. Same context of Matthew 25:21. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Just the opposite. It's a two-sided coin here. But he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. So the summary of this is obedience matters, right? At your word. We'll go fishing again. Small things matter as well as large ones. Everything matters when it involves God anyway. I don't like to look at small or large, but people do. I mean, there are certain small matters that you have that you're called to, and then there are big ones like what happened to me on May 1st, 2022. That was a large act of obedience for me. But you know what I look at as I don't look at it as small or big, but people do. That's why I'm bringing this up. There are small matters, and there's large ones too. But acts of obedience, whether large or small, are pleasing to God. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Just ask Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. King Saul lost his kingdom, his position as king of Israel, and his integrity because what? He disobeyed God's commands. It was something that was hard for Samuel to deal with, but he had to do it because God told him, hey, you need to go deal with King Saul. He just disobeyed me. And he'd done other things too, but this was a pretty pretty simple thing that he did, though. He was supposed to wipe out all the Amalekites and King Agag, not take any of the spoil. He did just the opposite. He let the king live. Well, it was these people. The people wanted to take some of the good things. He was passing it on to his people instead of taking responsibility. And he didn't wipe out all the Amalekites, and unfortunately, Israel paid a price for that later on. He didn't kill them all. He was supposed to wipe them all out. And because he disobeyed God's command, he says, hey, I got somebody else to take your place now because of what you did. And we have time to actually look at this, but I want to finish up. But anyway, I encourage you to go read the story. It's in 1 Samuel 15, verses 10 through 31. And many of us know this verse. It's kind of a verse that we've all quoted. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. That's where it comes from. Samuel tells Saul, hey, you should have obeyed. You know, I didn't want you to sacrifice this. Because he spared some of the good livestock to sacrifice unto the Lord. He's not a priest. And he was supposed to wipe all that out. And the Amalekites were, allegorically or metaphorically speaking, sin. I want you to wipe these people out and get rid of them. They're evil. I want them gone. And he did just the opposite. Said he wiped out all of them, but he didn't. Because we know according to the scripture, there were some of them still alive. But anyway, it's in 1 Samuel 15, verses 10 through 31. I encourage you to go read it, because the moral of the story is it's better to obey than to sacrifice, and we know that. You know, it's unfortunate that people think, well, I can do this, and I'll give the church more money, or you know, I'll help this person and that person, instead of obeying what God tells you to do, thinking I'll appease God some way. God says, no, I don't want your sacrifice. I own all of it. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own all the birds. I own all the... He goes, what is it, Psalm 50? He says, I want a sacrifice of gratitude. You want a sacrifice? Be thankful. I think it's Psalm 50, if I'm not mistaken. Because I own all this. Everything you want to sacrifice, I own them all. So your sacrifice doesn't mean anything to me unless your heart's right. You know, that's why the obedience is way more than sacrificing something. I'd rather you obey me. And then your sacrifice has meaning to it. You're giving out of the right heart. So obedience matters. It changed the lives of four fishermen. Let's go back to the story, verses 8 through 11 now. We're going to read the rest of the story here. In verse 8. 8 through 11 ends with these men forsaking all and following Jesus. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James, John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid, for now on you will catch men. There's always a bigger picture here with Jesus, trust me. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I want you to, I'm sure I said this to you before, because I've said it from the pulpit, I'm sure, and in my Friday night group. When there's a story in the Bible and Jesus is explaining us something, he always uses the natural first to explain the supernatural. Or he'll explain the physical to explain the spiritual. Now, catching all these fish was great, right? But what was the big picture here? Was now, you're going to forsake all. I'm calling you to a new ministry. You're not going to fish anymore for fish. You're going to fish for people. You're going to be my disciples, and you're going to spread the gospel and lead others to me, to eternal life. It's just like the blind man's story. I love that story, and I've said it before. I taught that whole chapter to you guys once. Was it John chapter 9, I believe? Someone say yes, or 8. I'm getting old. My birthday is next week, so I'm getting older. Come on, John 9, 8 or 9? 9, thank you. I love that story because here's this man born blind from birth. And his disciples are saying, hey, well, what, did his parents sin or he sin? Did it cause this? Well, what, he wasn't even born yet. How could he cause this? And no, it's not because of his parents. Why was he born blind? So God could show and manifest his power and authority over life and over issues. So Jesus healed this man, gave him sight, right? So he could physically see. But by the end of the chapter, what happened to this guy? Come on, you guys should know this story, man. Don't do this to me. Come on. He got saved. Now he could really see. Jesus took the physical, and here's the spiritual part of the story. He took the natural, made it supernatural. By the end of that chapter, this man gets saved, and he goes, once I was blind, but now I see. Physically, and now spiritually. Jesus, when he wants to tell us something, look at the beginning of it. Hey, go out and catch some more fish here. Peter's probably going, you guys, I don't know what's wrong with him, but you know, he doesn't know about fishing. We do. But I love that one statement. Peter said, at your louder, at your
word,
I will do what you say. If you get anything out of this sermon today, at your word, Jesus, I will do this. If you love me, keep my commandments. So when you're reading these stories in the Bible, look how it ends. And all the Jewish leadership, the Pharisees, and everyone, how did this guy, he was blind, how can he see now? And he tells them what happened. This guy came and healed me, you know. Well, tell us again. I already told you. You know, it's just a great story, the whole storyline in John chapter 9, because the Pharisees are now duped. They're just like, oh, man, this guy healed. This guy, we know this guy was blind, you know. Like the guy at the steps to the, when Peter and John, rise up and, gold and silver, I have none, but rise up and walk. That guy had been there for 40 years. Huh? No, it wasn't Pool of Bethesda. They were going to the tabernacle or something. Anyway,
Yeah.
But it wasn't them that healed him. It was the power of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And they all witnessed this. And everybody gave him money every day. You know, here's a banana, here's a sandwich, here's some money, here's some coffee, you know, like we do with the homeless. But they were getting, people were giving him all the worldly things to get him by. But all of a sudden, Peter says, hey, I don't have any gold or silver, but here, take my hand, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And everybody around there is like, what just happened? This guy's been here for years, and now he can walk. Same story with the blind man in John chapter 9. It was for God's power and authority to be manifested to show who was running the show, who's really in charge here. Lazarus is another good story. Now, we're going to wait a few more days. He's not dead yet. Then I'm going to really show everybody who's the resurrection and the life, right?
Yeah.
Mary and Martha, if you would have just came, why didn't you come? You could have saved him. Do you believe in the resurrection? Yeah, let's go. Watch this. Lazarus, get up and let's go. Come on. Great story. What? Physical? Spiritual? Natural? Supernatural. He let Lazarus die because he knew he was going to get up and walk. He was going to rise from the dead. He was going to be resurrected to show everybody, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall what? Never die, because we're going to be raised from the dead. Amen. Or get caught up in the rapture, which I would prefer. But that, you know. Either way, obedience matters here. Amen. And at your word, Lord, I will do this. So little did they know at the end of this little story here, after he got done preaching and they caught all these fish, he's going to go, hey, don't be afraid. You're going to follow me now. And they just dropped everything and went. That just blows my mind in itself. Well, wait, can we pray about this for a couple days, or, think about this? Where are you going? Follow me. I mean, they were following him already, and they'd seen all kinds of miracles. Like I said, if you go back to chapter 4, you see how, they've already witnessed the power of Jesus and the manifestation of who's in control of this world. And so this prompted them to just go, you know what? We're gonna follow you now. Because there was no fish out there. And now we got more fish than we can do with. And let them have it. Let's go. I mean, you think about the story in itself, it's kind of wild. But this is the story. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. That's us now. That's you and I. We're to share our faith, our testimony, lead others to the Lord. That's our calling just as much as it was them. The day you gave your life to Jesus, I'm going to bring you back to that day. You guys all remember that day? Yeah. I wish I had the date, but I don't. I know it was close to my 30th birthday, 1980. Holy smoke, yeah. What's that make me? Let's see, that was 30. I'll be 74 in the next couple weeks, whatever it is. Anyway, the day, what are you guys laughing, man? Keep preaching. Okay, I will. The day you gave your life to Jesus, do you remember that day? I wish I had the date. Some of you people go, I was saved on January 10th, 19th. I go, God, I wish I could remember the day. But, it really doesn't matter, right? I just remember that night when I gave my life to Jesus. I couldn't wait to get home and tell my wife, because she'd been praying for me the whole time. I started going to church by myself. I was a big boy, I'm going to go to church tonight because Mike's preaching on the book of Revelation. So, okay, honey, great. I'm sure she was like elated, Finally got up out of that stupid seat that had so much glue on it, which is called pride, and walked forward and gave my life to Jesus, and never been the same since. But anyway, the day you gave your life to Jesus, saying yes to him, yeah, amen, okay. Well, I'm going to get you guys out early. You love this. Listen to that, Pastor Steve. It's 10 till, man. So, the day you gave your life to Jesus, saying yes to him, did it not change your life forever? Why are you here? Because it changed your life, right? Can I get a yes and amen? Yeah, okay. Do you realize that was your first act of obedience? Yep. I didn't at the time. I walked out of the theater up here and driving home going, what did I just do? Did you think like that? I mean, I did. I was by myself. I woke up the next morning and go, I'm a Christian now. Oops, be careful. I didn't mean that. just kind of looking at me like, I'm a Christian now. I went to work with all these heathens that I used to cuss with and drink with and party with. And after a few days, they're going, what's wrong with you, man? I go, nothing's wrong with me. I went to church and, I gave my life to Jesus. What? It's like, what happened? It's like all of a sudden I had the flu or something, It's all right. I got through it by the grace of God. But, I want you to understand that that was your first act of obeying the Lord. when he called you. He gave you the faith to believe even. That's a gift. Because I wasn't looking for him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's part of my testimony. It kind of grew on me, this whole faith issue. Because I had to have faith to believe, right? And when he called that night, get up. And I did. That was my first act of obedience. And it was your first act of obedience. That was your first act of obeying the Lord. Obedience matters. Every single day. So don't stop. Obey more. Especially when those unexpected moments happen. And now God's calling you to a certain situation. When you least expect it, just be ready. Hey, for this purpose, Lord, my life belongs to you. And whatever you have for me, let's do this. Let's do it. Don't be afraid to say that. Because your life doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to him. Amen. And you have to really understand that and grasp onto that and hold on to that. It's his. You belong to him now. And I like that. Okay, you help me make these decisions. You do. Why now, Lord? I got him to talk to. And it's important that we look at things like that because he directs us. We can plan our ways, like the Proverbs say, but who truly directs things? I plan my life. Hey, I'm going to semi-retire now. I'm still going to come in and help Steve, teach him everything and what we do as far as, the bookkeeping. And Pastor Dan and I would help him. And can we all three do it? And then, bam, May 1st, 2022 hit. Like a thunderhead, like a lightning bolt from heaven. But it's okay. We got through it. We're still getting through it. And no matter what happens, we'll always get through it. Because you walk through the valley of the shadow of whatever it is. Okay? There's a light at the end of the tunnel. But obedience matters. We want to obey God because that's what really blesses him more than anything, is that it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Okay? Obedience does matter. Let's pray.